First Timothy, Second Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15. Read this verse many times. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. The reason we're to study, or one of the reasons, is to rightly divide the word of truth. And again, if the word of God can be rightly divided, it can also be wrongly divided, and that is something that ought to greatly concern us. To study is to give earnest attention. We haven't studied something if we have not given earnest attention to it. Means to give very careful and extended consideration. We haven't studied something if we have not diligently considered. Means to research, that is to search over and over, to research. You search once and then you search again. That's research. It is to examine what is before us. Again, just reading the scriptures is not studying the scriptures. Studying implies examining in a greater degree of attention. Means to make inquiry. We have to ask ourselves questions. And to study is to review, to go over. You view it, and then you review it. And then you review it again and again and again. That's study. We've been looking here at the last several weeks that we have to have a method of study. If we're going to consistently study the Word of God, there has to be a method for doing so. If we have no method, we will not consistently study the Word of God. Our method, of course, is our procedure, and it speaks of that which is systematic. It's our process. It's the plan that we use, the technique that we use in reading, searching, and studying the Word of God. We've seen that our method must be based on sound Bible study principles, and we've mentioned over and over and over again. Those are approach, where approach must be proper, which leads to proper observation, observing what the Word of God says. You cannot possibly know what it means if you do not even know what it says. And it's amazing how many people can read something and still not know what it says. That's where attention comes in. But by observation, we mean observing what it says. That leads, of course, to interpretation, which is the discovery of what it means. And then, of course, we are to apply that to our own lives. We've been looking at various types of Bible study. And again, we should not confine ourselves to one specific type, even though we all are going to prefer one type over another. The truth is that a thorough study in any of the types of study will branch out into other studies. So really, if you do it right, you're not going to get stuck in one type of study. We've seen so far there's topical study. Again, it goes without saying, that is the study of a topic. You follow that topic all through the Word of God. You do not just pick and choose certain areas But if you're going to get a thorough view of the topic, you have to look everywhere where that topic appears, however it might appear. The danger of a topical study, we've seen, is people are very prone to take topics out of context, and that's always dangerous. That can lead to a wrongly dividing the Word of God. We saw also there's a character study where you pick a person in the Bible and you study them. You gather all the information that you possibly can on that person as the Bible presents them. That leads us to a book study. That is, you pick a particular book of the Bible and you study that book. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, I've studied the book of Titus. And if you really start asking them about it, you'll find out they didn't study it at all. They read it, maybe, but they didn't really, truly study the book. And many times preachers or Sunday school teachers will say, we're doing a study of such and such a book, and they go through the book of Romans in 3 weeks. Well, that's hardly study, because there's a lot that you cannot possibly do a study. You can do a survey, but you cannot do a study in 3 weeks on the book of Romans, or probably any other book as far as that goes. But the purpose, of course, in a book study is to discover the teaching of a particular book of the Bible. And we just want to give some suggestions, some things that we ought to do if we're going to study a book. First of all, if you've never studied a book, you probably want to start with a smaller book rather than a larger book. But whatever book you decide to study, first thing you need to do is to read it through several times. Several times, I mean 5, 6, 7 times. Just read it through. As you read, whether you realize it or not, you learn some things. And you begin and you make some observations. And if you were to, say, take the book of James, you're going to do a study in the book of James. You read it through once, you write down some things that you observed, just little things. You read through a second time, and you will observe some different things than you did the first time. You need to write that down. And then the third time, and it just keeps growing. The more you read, the more you see, the more you observe. And by reading the book through, without really stopping and really giving a whole lot of thought to what you're reading, just read it through. By reading it through, you are becoming somewhat familiar with the book. You are gaining an idea of what the book is about. Reading through the book of several times, again, you want to write down some general observations. Now, as you begin to, after you've read it through, and you now want to begin to study the book, there are many things you need to consider or observe. We, of course, want to consider the type of literature that we're reading. Is it historical? Is it poetical, like the Psalms? Is it prophetic, like the book of Isaiah, the book of Daniel? So we need that. Is it an epistle? Is it a letter to a church? We need to know the type of literature that we're reading. Then as we're reading, even if it is a historical book, there will be times where the writer uses allegory. You need to observe those things. Even if it's a historical book, of course, you want to observe historical statements, but you also want to notice illustrations, allegorical or parables or whatever. You study the author of the book, which leads into a character study. It would be wise if you're studying a book, if it's possible, sometimes the Bible doesn't give us a lot of information concerning the author, but it would be good to know something about him, the one who wrote the book. Many times the first word of the book is the person's name. That would be a good place to start. What does their name mean? And if you just look up the Old Testament authors and look at the meaning of their names, and by so doing, you get really a pretty good idea of the subject of the book. For example, the book of Isaiah. The name Isaiah means God is salvation. And that's basically the theme. That's basically the teaching of the book of Isaiah. Then, of course, we want to study the historical setting in which the book was written. If we're really going to understand the book, we have to know the background. We have to know the historical setting of the book, which is probably going to lead us to search out some other books as well. But we use Isaiah for an example. Now again, if you were to just start doing a book study, Isaiah is probably not where you want to start because of the length. But there's some good examples in the book of Isaiah. Notice in, well, let's go there, in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1. We're talking about studying the historical background of the book. The vision or the prophecy of Isaiah. It would be a good place to, after you've read the book through several times, it'd be a good place to stop and consider the name Isaiah. The vision of Isaiah, and then we're told something about him. We're not told much about Isaiah, but we're told that he was the son of Amoz. This vision, this prophecy, he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of. Okay, now we're getting an idea of the historical background and of the time frame in which the book of Isaiah was written. I'm telling you, if you're going to study the book of Isaiah, it's going to take you a while to get out of verse 1. Because we're told some valuable information concerning the setting of the book of Isaiah. He wrote the book of Isaiah in the days, and he mentions four kings: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. These were kings of Judah. Now, from reading Isaiah chapter 6, we know that Isaiah came along toward the end of Uzziah's reign, which was like 56 years. It might be off a couple years there. So we don't know exactly when he began in Uzziah's reign, but it was toward the end, the very end of Uzziah's reign. Now, if you were to get the background, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. We're told all about these individuals' reigns in 2 Kings chapter 15 through chapter 18, and in the book of 2 Chronicles chapters 26 through 32. So in order to get the historical background, you're going to have to study 2 Kings chapter 15 through 18, 2 Chronicles chapter 26 through chapter 32. You don't have to do in-depth study of those, but you do need to read those because it gives you an idea of what was going on during the time which Isaiah wrote. So the very first verse, and this is often the case, the very first verse we find much about the historical background. We're also told something in verse 1 concerning the time frame in which Isaiah wrote. Again, we don't know for sure when Isaiah began his prophecy in Uzziah's reign, but again, we do know it's toward the end. But we do know from reading 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles that Jotham reigned for 16 years. Ahaz reigned for 16 years. And Hezekiah reigned for 29 years. That is a total of 61 years. So we know that Isaiah wrote, his prophecy covers at least the span of 61 years. We get all of that from the first verse. And that's why it's so important when you look at a statement such as the first verse of a book, there's much there. And those are the verses that most people just read over without paying any attention. You get the whole setting is established here in Isaiah 1 and verse 1. We would also have to study parallel books and contemporaries. For example, if you were going to study 1 and 2 Kings, you would also study 1 and 2 Chronicles. If you were going to study one of the Gospels, you would be best served to study all four, or at least to consider all four. Parallel book to Isaiah, or Isaiah's contemporaries, that is, those who wrote during the same time period as Isaiah, would be Amos and Micah. So you would want to at least read those books. You would not necessarily study those books, but you would at least want to read those books, because these were contemporaries to Isaiah. And they kind of fill in the historical background. Then, of course, you want to consider to whom the book may be written. In this case, the book of Isaiah, he's ministering to Judah. We're told that in the first verse also. So we know who he's referring to. Now, if a book is written to a specific individual, specifically in the New Testament, whether it's written to the Church of Corinth or whether it's written to Timothy, that leads into somewhat of a, you don't have to go in depth, but you want to find out something about the person that's written to. What is their circumstances? Here again, if you're going to really study Isaiah, you're going to be a while in Isaiah 1, verse 1, because you're now going over to Kings, you're going over to Chronicles, you're studying these kings, you're also going to try to find out something about Judah, because that's who he's writing to. What's the history of Judah, which again is going to take you into Kings and Chronicles. If the book is written to someone, again, study their character, study their circumstances. Consider the intent of the writer. That's only fair in reading any book. What is the purpose? What is the intent of the writer? Now, as you read through the book of Isaiah, you would see the intent would be to pronounce judgment upon the people. Spends the first half of the book, that's basically all he does, is pronounces judgment upon the people. But then the second half of the book, he seeks to give them hope. He seeks to comfort them. This was his intent. His intent is also revealed in his name, God is salvation. And that was his intent, was to show that God is salvation. You want to consider the main theme of the book. And you'll get that just by reading it through several times. It won't take you long just by reading without stopping that you'll get an idea at least of the theme. I mean, if you read something a couple of times and you still have no clue of no idea of what the theme is, one of two things has happened. Either the book is poorly written, and that's not the case with the Bible, or you need to learn to read. You're not paying attention to what you're reading. Now, there's no fault in the Bible. So if we read something and you read it over and over and you can't at least get a general theme, you're not a very good reader. You're sort of oblivious when you read. So we should get a general idea. We ought to look for key doctrines in any book. Look for key doctrines in the book. If you're studying an Old Testament book, you want to also consider, where is it quoted in the New Testament? Book of Isaiah, no book is more quoted than the book of Isaiah, something like 85 times. I think it's directly quoted 65 times, and then there's other references, which brings you to a total of about 85 times. But a lot of times when you see how it is used in the New Testament, it explains it. So you want to, if you're going to do a book study, you need to find out is it quoted in the New Testament, and who quotes it, and how is it quoted. You need to, and you do this again, just reading it through, you'll observe repeated phrases, repeated words. Every book has it. Every book in the Bible, there's something that is repeated a few times. That gives you an idea of the theme. It gives you an idea of the emphasis. In the book of Isaiah, the word holy or righteous appears 101 times. Now, it seems to me after you read a book through a few times, you'd start to notice. You may not know, okay, that word occurred 101 times. But you start to notice that it's repeated. The word hear or listen is repeated 68 times. Thus saith the Lord, over and over and over again. So you look for repeated phrases. You also look for a key spiritual lesson. In every book study, in every character study, in every topical study, in every type of study, you need to look, what is the key spiritual lesson? That's what we're trying to obtain, is the spiritual lesson. Another good thing to do in studying a book would be to note the times that God is mentioned. Note the names that are used of God. Notice the character that is ascribed to God, and note those and write those things down. And you'll be surprised, again, every book. The book of Esther doesn't mention God, but the book of Esther is filled with God. But every book says something about God. We need to write those things down. We need to write down what it says of Christ. We need to write down what it says of the Holy Spirit. So we're looking for the character of God throughout the book. And these are things that you would just make notation of. And you can do that as you read it through. And if you read a book through five or six times, you'll have a pretty good list just reading it through. If you just put things on a piece of paper, make a list. Notice commands in the book. Notice warnings in the book. Notice promises in the book. Notice key people in the book. Who are some other people that are mentioned in the book? Does he mention these people more than one time? Again, these are all things to consider, all things that we can write down, and the list is endless. These are just basic things. And by the time you do all of this, you can now begin to outline the book, which is basically, you can view an outline as a picture. It is the picture of the book. Usually, people see a picture, it becomes more plain. And if you can put something in an outline form on a piece of paper, on a book or a topic, whatever, it's a picture. And the book becomes more plain. And as you, again, you should be able to create somewhat of an outline just by reading it through. simple observations. Then as you begin to study, now you're painting the picture, you're filling in the details of the picture, and your outline grows. But that's how we would do a study of a particular book. That leaves two more areas of study, and we'll consider them both together, and that would be a word study and a verse by verse study. These are just different methods that we use. And again, if you're thorough in your study, you'll find out that in one typical study, you're using all of these types of study. So these are things to consider. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to read your word and to study it. Lord, we pray that you would cause us to do so. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us today to worship you in spirit and in truth, that everything we say, everything we do would be pleasing to thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.